There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Jeremy White.
I think everybody knows someone does this, or
I think I know what you're about to say. And
wears shorts every single day, no matter what.
Yes.
And Joe DiBiase.
Everybody knows someone that does this. They wear shorts 365.
Hypothermia? We're like hypostermia.
Listen, if none of my friends are going to do it, I'm going to be the guy that wears shorts all the time.
I don't fear the cold. The cold fears me.
All situations, except like weddings. You know, at that point, lean into it.
You just got a pair of shorts.
You get to the wedding, the bride. What's going on with your buddy there? Oh, he's a shorts every day guy.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
And good morning. Happy Thursday, Jeremy and Joe. I saw, Joe, speaking of shorts, I saw one of those weather maps where they show the entire country is going to be warm for the next week.
Yep.
So we're in the 50s today and pretty much through, I don't know, maybe like the Chiefs game. It looks nice.
Have we, Josh, you put the shorts away for the summer, didn't you?
I did drag out a couple pairs just in case.
It was probably a good move.
Very happy that I did that. I'm not wearing them today, though.
I think I saw there's going to be days in the 60s next week. So
yeah. All right.
Might need them.
Yeah, that's nice. The Chiefs game. All right, ready? Let's pick that. And we're doing everything we can to look past this Colts game, which is probably a mistake.
But yeah.
We'll spend plenty of time on it, I'm sure. Pick your ideal forecast for the Kansas City game.
My ideal forecast for the Kansas City game. No, I want it to be perfect. Right? 57 and sunny. Yeah.
Okay.
That's it. The thought entered my brain. Do I just make this as ugly a game as possible? But I don't know why I would.
You could also just have like the decoration rain, if I could use that as a term.
Decoration rain.
Yeah, like the Chiefs on Monday night played against the Bucs, and they had rain, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't much of a difference. It just kind of made the game look cooler.
Yeah. What about snow?
Nobody wants to talk about snow.
Is there any reason why I would want that yet?
No.
Just for the game. Not the other day. It's just the game day.
Not yet. Here's one thing that could happen in this game that, you know, it's I found something out about overtime that I did not know. So at ProFootballTalk.com today, Mike Florio has a piece up about Todd Bowles explaining the decision to go for one in their game against the Chiefs on Monday.
Uh-huh.
So if you missed the game or you don't know what happened in that game, it was exactly like the Bills and Dolphins game where the road team scores late and kicks an extra point to tie, which would go to overtime. The Bills, of course, got a field goal right before the end of regulation, and the Chiefs, they did not, and the game went to overtime. There was not that much time left, like, I don't know, 20 seconds, 19 seconds, 30 seconds, whatever it was.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't as much time for the Chiefs to work as the Bills had. So that was one of four games. You said there were four games this week where teams could have gone for two and didn't.
Yeah.
And they ultimately go to overtime, or every one of those teams lost.
Yep.
Anyway, I'm sorry, I'm meandering here. It's early. What I'm getting at is, if Bills-Chiefs goes to overtime and the coin toss determines the winner, could we see the NFL make a move on regulation? And I feel like there should be a little bit of a push for this. The only problem is it's the Bucs, and let me explain why. So in Todd Bowles' piece, or in Mike Florio's piece about Todd Bowles, he says that Bowles gave minor consideration, very minor, to go for two. Wet conditions played a role. And then there's a quote here from Baker Mayfield about it. And Baker says, I did not lobby for it to go for two. hindsight is 20/20. We had a little momentum on the long drive. They were gassed a little bit. But, you know, hindsight is 20/20. You're hoping to win the coin toss. I'm not a fan of the overtime rules. Obviously, it's gotten us twice now. So, yeah, overtime rules not the best. And I thought, wait, the Bucks have two of those?
Yeah.
And sure enough, they lost a game to Atlanta in overtime where they lost the toss.
Oh.
And the first possession was down, touchdown, game over. The Bucks are 4-5 with two losses coming only because they lost a coin toss in overtime and could not make
a
stop.
And one would have been in their own division to the team that's ahead of them right now.
And yeah. That team, you know, if you want to be a, well, just make a stop on defense, guess who doesn't make stops on defense? Atlanta doesn't either. So
right.
The Bucks are under 500, 4-5, a game and a half out of their division lead. And the reality is if they had flipped two coin tosses, they might be 6-3 and ahead of their division, ahead of Atlanta. I don't know that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to get, in Baker Mayfield losing coin tosses in overtime, are ever going to get the NFL to move it.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the NFL solution is for the regular season, because I get the sense they don't want their games going long. They don't want the format to be like the college format. But, man, I did not know that the Bucs have had that happen to them twice this year.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. Is the thing – do you have something that you think would change it in the regular season? Because I just had a thought that they would have changed it the instant that it happened, that the season ended. If it's the Chiefs' only loss.
Ah, yes.
Right? If they have, even if it's not like right at the end, although if it's right at the end, that'll make it, I think, this more obvious. But if they lose to the Bills in 2 weeks and they lose in overtime because they lost the coin toss and the Bills score a touchdown on their opening drive, and that's their only loss of the season, then it's going to be labeled as, oh, well, the coin toss kept the Chiefs from having a perfect season, so let's change it.
That's a great point. That's a great
100%. They would move it in an instant, I think, if that happened. Maybe you could just say if the Chiefs had happened to the Chiefs at all, or if it happened to the Bills again, because it happened to the Bills in the playoffs and they changed it in the playoffs.
They changed it in the playoffs in two different ways over time. And this is where, you know, the hey, just make a stop on defense crowd, I feel like they had more legs to stand on until the NFL changed it in the playoffs.
Right.
Because the NFL basically has said, yeah, the format's not good enough. We've got to make it more equitable when the games matter the most. And one other thing about football, of course, here is that we know these games matter a lot in the regular season. Maybe not for the Bills in this division. But for the NFL to have already made the change twice in the playoffs and gone further each time would be an admission that, yeah, just make a stop on defense, that doesn't hold any water. We don't think that that's good enough for us when the games matter. So I just wonder, like you laid it out perfectly, what game in the regular season could convince them that it matters in the regular season? And I feel like that's why I'm looking ahead to Chiefs-Bills.
Right,
You've laid out the perfect scenario for how they get it.
One loss.
Other way around, you know, the Chiefs win the coin toss in Buffalo and win it in overtime. Even that, I've got like my game of the year, and I'm on the Chiefs are on the road. I don't care if it's a shootout or if it's 3-3. The point is, how are you gonna end that game like that?
Well, how much, looking back on the 13 seconds game that got that rule changed, how much of that wasn't just, hey, it was Bills Chiefs?
Yep.
It was how the game ended. Right, like it was.
Nobody made stops.
Yeah, if that had looked like any of the other Chiefs-Bills games since, which have been more, you know, low-scoring-ish, 24-20. Has that score happened four times between these two opponents? I know not literally, but it's felt like it. 24-20, and you get a couple of big plays, but for the most part, it's a football game. That game was a circus where everyone is scoring right at the end, back and forth, back and forth. It looks like no one's ever going to stop. And then the coin flip, you know, stops it. So I wonder, you know, retroactively, would that have been different? Would they have been slower to change it if the game script had been different? Would it be different next week if, you know, the Chiefs lose on a coin toss in a 20-17 game versus they lose on a coin toss in a 42-36 game?
Yeah, that's a good question. Let's look at last year's Bills-Chiefs playoff game. If that one goes to overtime, let's say, you know, and the old rules are in place. Bass makes the kick.
Yeah.
It's tied, and the Chiefs go 3-and-out and bleed clock. Now we're going to overtime. Because that game was not a shootout.
No.
But if that game ends the way the 13 seconds game ends, which is one team wins the toss and goes down and wins the game, you're asking, would that kind of game also have gotten the rule changed? And I think the answer is very possibly. Because every time this conversation comes up, and when it came up for Allen and Mahomes in the 13 seconds game, the reason the conversation was given life is because of the quarterback left on the sidelines. It was, how are we going to have the MVP of the league, Peyton Manning, not touch the ball in overtime? That doesn't make any sense. Mahomes beating Allen was the final straw to make it where, no, even a touchdown isn't enough. You have to do more. So it's always been about the caliber of quarterback. You know, you say if it's Bills Chiefs and it's not a shootout, do they do it? I want to say they might. If it's, hold on, let me insult some quarterbacks here for a second as I just, if Ooh. It's who?
Yeah, who's not getting a chance to
Flacco,
tie the ball?
If it's Flacco and Minshew or Flacco and Russell Wilson in an overtime game, I don't think it really resonates the same in that moment. The other thing about 13 seconds is, you know, the rule existing as it did back then, it's kind of wild that the Bills' most heartbreaking game, what percentage of Bills fans think about the heartbreak of the 13 seconds and don't think about the fact that if they just won the coin toss, your greatest heartbreak of the last 20 years, 30 years, might not have existed?
Right.
I mean, they just win the toss. It's like we're still mad at McDermott, but they're on to the AFC Championship game because they score.
If they had changed it after the New England-Kansas City game a couple years before.
Right. Is that 2 years before when the Chiefs lose a coin toss and lose in overtime?
I think so, yeah. If they'd done it right then and there, you get another shot at it. And then we're what? Talking about whether you go for two or not or something.
Yep.
Strategy.
So what's the answer? You know, I've said it before. I said it on Tuesday after we watched that Monday Nighter. I just feel like the answer is to just eliminate the coin toss.
Yeah.
And because Todd Bowles, as he's talking about how they've lost two games in overtime and how they made the decision to go for one there in Kansas City at Arrowhead, if he knows Patrick Mahomes is going to get the ball, there is no coin toss, they're going to get the ball, then maybe he chooses differently. And, you know, on and on like that. If you just have situations where you know, if I know they're going to get the ball, let's take it to last year's Bills-Chiefs playoff game. If the rule is, instead of a coin toss, that road teams get the ball in overtime because, like, you've earned that, does McDermott go for fourth and nine, or does he kick for Bass to miss? Because right. what he's trying to do is make the kick, and if we make a stop, well, then we're on to overtime, where currently the rules are equitable. But in the old format, if it's the road team gets the ball first,
and you're making a kick just to hand the ball to Mahomes at the start of overtime,
yeah, you would probably operate differently.
Yeah. Is there a video game that's like this where you could just extend the clock? Like, you just keep going. Whoever's got the ball, nothing changes. We're not kicking the ball off. We're not doing a coin toss. If the game is tied at the end of regulation, just we're going plus clock, basically, until somebody scores. Does that make it worse?
That's terrible, yes.
That's a horrible idea?
Yes. You know why? Take it to Bills Dolphins this week.
Uh-huh.
I mean, maybe there.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike McDaniel decides to go for two, but if he doesn't, he kicks the ball. The Bills get the ball back with 2 minutes left, and you're telling me we just take the time off the clock. There's no urgency,
yep.
The strategy for timeouts, everything's gone.
Yeah.
Like, the end of the fourth quarter is so unbelievably changed.
Yeah, no, that's right. Because I think also, now that I'm thinking of it, I think it's a soccer video game that has that, which is a very different sport for this.
Yeah.
So you're not taking turns back and forth.
Right. Then the idea of 2-minute drills, they're just gone in tie games.
Right. Right, if
and
you're
I
tied.
Don't want to get rid of that. I've got my most dramatic time.
Yep.
It's the red zone witching hour, and you're watching the red zone channels. Like, all right, well, three of these games are tied, so we got to take the time off the clock because now we're just gonna, you know, it's a different format. But I don't think that would work too well, and that seems radical to me in terms of like what the NFL would accept.
I just want to get rid of the coin toss. I think your idea is good though. Like, just find a way though to get rid of the coin
road
toss.
Team, home team, bake in the possession.
Yeah,
because the coin toss is tough, but. You know, the start of this conversation is, what would it take for them to change the regular season the way they did the postseason, rather? And your answer is right. If the Chiefs lose their only game in overtime on a coin toss, we now have to root for this exact scenario for the greater good.
That would mean rooting for them to get the one seed then, I think, because...
They're undefeated other than the Bills.
But
in this scenario, the Bills beat them at home. We have fun. We ruin their perfect season. I think this is a perfect scenario. I'm now rooting for this exact scenario. Bills win toss, win in overtime, beat Chiefs, league changes rule.
Although you're going to be hearing consistently about like, yeah, but they didn't get the ball back. Like, do you want to sign up for a lifetime of that game or that season just being remembered for the season that the Chiefs got jobbed of history?
I mean,
because if they lost one game that way, it would be remembered forever as, oh, they should have gone. They kind of got hosed, right? Like, we don't really feel that way about that Bills game only because of what they did at the end of regulation,
right? To kind of earn that.
If Allen had thrown the touchdown to Gabe Davis with 0 seconds left on the clock instead of 13 seconds, and then they go to overtime and lose, I think we're not. All our anger that from that day on that was pointed at Sean McDermott and the coaching staff is all at the league, right? It's all at the rules. All of that anger, all that emotion, all that energy is redirected, I think, at overtime. But I think the overtime didn't get the scathing, you know, fury of Bills fans because everybody was staring at McDermott and the Bills coaching staff for the end of regulation. So... Like, to me, that would be the Chiefs, though. It depends how maybe the end of the game goes, but if they kick a field goal to tie the game at the end, and then the Bills get the ball to start, and they get it, and that's their only loss, like, in, I don't know. I don't know that I want to sign up for a lifetime of, oh, remember the year the Chiefs should have gone undefeated? Just, I don't know if I want that.
I always think that, all right, they got screwed. Somebody got screwed. Who's the team, not your own, that you think that the most about?
They because got screwed?
This is my point, really. No one remembers that you got screwed. Only you remember it. Mm-hmm. Who got screwed?
Put it
this way. If I put 100 sports fans in a room and ask them each to write down how their own team got screwed, the biggest time they got screwed, you'd have 100 answers. Easy. Everybody have 5 on the list. And then I said, all right, I want you to think of a time that some other team got screwed. You'd sit there for a minute and be like, all right, hold on a second.
Right.
Let me think. That's a good question. I don't have the answer. Who's the most obvious?
Yeah.
Like, I think back to the Seattle-Pittsburgh Super Bowl. There's generally a feeling that the Seahawks had a rough deal there because of the officiating. I'm sure Seattle, they could tell you the 17 plays that happened. To me, I'm just like, I feel like that went poorly for them.
Yeah, okay. The first thing that comes to mind for me is the Saints...
Yes.
Rams NFC, is it the NFC Championship?
Yes, that's a good one. That's one where the rule got changed.
The pass interference got changed for
a year. It was so bad, they changed the rule for a year.
Right, yeah.
And the Saints complained so much, they were going to strike, they were like introducing legislation to Congress.
Yeah.
They complained so much that the entire NFL said, shut up.
Right. You know,
like, get over it.
Right. It might just be too early in the morning to think of some of these. There's probably some good baseball ones or hockey ones, I'm sure, too, in other sports.
Who is the standard as got a raw deal the most that you can't answer your own team?
See, the tough part about hockey for that is maybe the answer is the Sabres.
But no goal is pretty rough.
Like, no goal might be the answer for someone if I ask this question in Minnesota, you know?
Yep.
But... I'm sure there's other good hockey ones somewhere. Eastern Conference Finals somewhere along the way. Gretzky against the Leafs. Does this ring a bell?
No.
High-sticked a Leaf, and they didn't call him a penalty for it, or they did, and then they took it away, and then he immediately scored after and won the game. A Leaf fan could tell me about that one. I know I've heard that story before, though. Yeah. I don't know. That's the first thing that came to mind, a Gretzky story that I was not even alive for.
There's the famous fifth down in college football. That's one. There's okay. Vinny Testaverde scoring a touchdown with his helmet to send the Jets to the playoffs in one, like 1998. I think that's a year where replay was not in the NFL, and then they, again, brought it back. There were a couple years there, replay was gone.
Yeah. How many of these, though, were just missed calls?
Oh, tons of them.
Almost all of them feel like they're just missed calls, right?
Yes.
Unless you would say, like, the opponent cheating is, like someone... I mean,
Patriots stuff,
The Yankees were crying about this again, Brian Cashman, before this World Series, about how the Astros cheated them out of a World Series.
Yeah.
But, like, I am not going to sit here and tell you the Yankees are going to be the answer that got the most screwed over, especially when they got caught cheating after two.
Yeah, this would be one where you didn't get screwed by a call. You got screwed by the format of the overtime in week 10 was a blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
That's where I think it's probably got to be NFL, because I don't know how many other sports really it ever feels like that, where, like, oh, one team just didn't get a chance. You know, like, you could even think it, like, hockey is gimmicky, where there was one year the Flyers and the Rangers, I think, had a shootout to go to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And, like, that's gimmicky. Like, for sure, that's so stupid. But each team had an equitable opportunity, even in the gimmick.
Yep.
This is different. Just football is just, it's not equitable. That's the difference, I think.
803-0550, our phone number on this. If you want to pop in on, you know, remembering what team got the raw deal the most, I don't know. I mean, this overtime format tends to, I mean, we feel that way or should feel more that way about 13 seconds, but we don't, because there's the self-loathing part of it about what happened, like you said. Without that 13 seconds, if Gabe Davis catches that touchdown and then they just flip a coin, we are forever irate about that. So 803-0550. Quentin Jefferson and Jordan Phillips are back with the Bills.
Yep.
I saw a tweet that really kind of summed this up for me and really got me thinking about one position that we never talk about this way for the Bills. Anthony Brosco of Cover One. Anthony Cover One. We had him on the show. You know, he wrote basically, like, how long, how many times do the Bills have to remake their defensive line before they just get exhausted with it? And if you think about the interior defensive tackle, the level of investment there, Joe, ready?
Yeah.
Okay, Ed Oliver, who's the next highest investment of defensive tackle in the entire McDermott era?
Star Latulale.
Yes.
And that was, like, when they showed up, though, wasn't it? Like, right. That was a while ago.
So, okay, number one, Ed Oliver. Number two, 7 years ago, Star Latulale.
Right, they don't even really overlap much.
No.
Like, it's like they had one big investment contract-wise, and they had one big investment kind of after.
So where's the second biggest investment, and the third biggest defense, interior defensive line in the McDermott era?
Ooh, is it? I mean, there isn't going to really be one, right? Like Daquan Jones, but that's not much,
right.
I don't think.
Right.
That's like a modest contract, basically. Like, it's almost replacement level money, I think.
I feel like, for me, defensive tackle has been a blind spot, where I would say this all the time about guard, that they don't really address that. But they drafted guards in the second round multiple times. Dwayne Carter in the third round this year.
Yeah.
Before that, I mean, the Bills are going multiple years without a draft pick on the interior of the defensive line.
Without any draft pick.
Any draft pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Harrison Phillips, right?
Do you want to know how many Harrison Phillips, yes.
Third
how many
pick.
Draft picks between Ed Oliver and Dwayne Carter on the interior of the defensive line? The answer is zero.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
They're constantly kind of shuffling guys in and pulling in your Jordan Phillips and your Quentin Jefferson, your Austin Jackson.
Ely Onku, I feel like, has been in and out of this place like 19 times in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So take for that what you want, but if it might be a feature, not a bug. But, there's just not a lot that they've committed to that position.
I wonder if it's a feature. I wonder if it's a feature, and they think of how they are philosophically on defense. They want you to run it. They want you to run it. They want to stop the pass. They're going to invest in stopping the pass. So I wonder if in an honest moment they would tell you that of the whole roster, they think that, you know, defensive tackle, What we'll have, we want one good guy, and then it's the most replacement level position we have.
Yeah.
If we got to throw Ilyanku in there for a guy on a practice squad in for a couple of games, like, we'll be just fine.
I'm looking at the draft history since their first draft together, like Tre'Davious White, right? Tre'Davious White goes in 2017. I think they have drafted a total of 3 defensive tackles.
Yeah.
And that's Harrison Phillips, Ed Oliver, and Dwayne Carter.
Yeah. I mean, think Ankou, just using him as an example here, because he's in and out, practice squad a lot. He plays this past week against Miami 35% of the snaps. How many other positions? Actually, that was against. Sorry. That was a different game. Last week against Miami, Ilyanku. No, it was 35%. How many other positions do you think the Bills would be comfortable playing a practice squad guy 35% of their snaps?
Yeah.
Not many.
No.
Interesting.
803-0550. 1-888-550-2550. Bengals and Ravens tonight for Thursday Night Football. Sabres and Rangers as well. We'll take your calls if you want. You can join us at 803-0550. Sal coming up today. We got to get the news on Keon Coleman. We know the news on Coleman and his injury, which could keep him out for a little bit of time. Scott Pianowski as well. Three-way parlay. Lots to get to. Lots of fun to be had. So join us if you'd like on the defensive tackle conversation, on the overtime conversation. I've got good trivia for you as well. It's all coming up. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.